What I always tell my athletes at any race I direct is that make sure you, at times that you stop, turn around for 10 seconds, take a mental photo, because that mental photo will be with you forever.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I am Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 26.
Yes, it is.
It's very exciting.
Featuring the man, the myth, the legend.
Yes, some people might think of him as the God of Thunder.
Thor Hesselberg joins us today on the podcast. He is the race director of Rockman Extreme Swim Run, as well as a few other extreme triathlons. But we chatted with him about Rockman specifically, about his own personal endurance, and a very curious backyard swim run barbecue situation, which sounds very enticing.
It does. Sounds really good. Yeah, it was really cool to chat about sort of his journey, his sort of endurance journey, and then how that led to him basically taking over as race director for this race. It just sounds ridiculous. I'm thinking that at some point we'll probably do our deep dive for as a sort of course preview for Rockman, just because, I mean, the race is just insane.
Yeah. And that's a great segue into, if you are racing Otolo Inkaden here in the next couple weeks, don't forget to check out our course preview show. We had Matt Scott from Otolo, two different athletes who are placing on the podium every year at nearly every Otolo race, and then also some leg-by-leg breakdown by Nicholas Ramirez of Envol Coaching, as well as some specific training workouts, which we are going to tackle this rather beastly 2 to 3 hour hill endurance Inkaden specific training coming up. So speaking of training, how's that been going?
Training's been going great. Our pool is open, so we've been taking advantage of that. It's been humbling to be back in the water. It's also been really interesting because you get to reserve a lane, which we've mentioned this in a previous show. That's like the greatest thing ever, and I can't believe it took a pandemic to get that to happen.
Yeah.
But you also have your sort of time crunch. So you have 55 minutes basically, unless you can sneak in early to really do a long set. So I think that's been a challenge to just try to not get stressed out about that.
It's also been a good forcing function, because there were times that I know you and I would be like, oh, let's do a 20-minute recovery thing, which is good, you know, 1,500 yards or whatever. But here we're like 3K is kind of the goal for every session, and we try to not to get out of the pool until we hit 3K. But
yeah, and I think, you know, when it's us sharing a lane, if it isn't obvious, we just end up shooting the breeze a lot. So there's you know, those rest intervals can go on for a couple of minutes. Yeah. Hey, man, did you watch that show? What do you think about?
I was telling my wife about that, about, hey, I feel like we're so much more focused because we're not, you know, we're not chit-chatting in between sets anymore. We're actually like grinding as fast as we can.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes when I'm taking my rest interval, I'll look over just to see if I can make eye contact, but you're not.
We'll give each other a wave or something. One training has been going well. We've been actually, both Chris and I have been hot off the heels of the Andy Blow Precision Hydration interview. We've been practicing some of what we have been preached to about the precision stuff, and I've really been enjoying it thus far.
Yeah, no, I did a big run on Saturday up a local mountain here and back, and I remember texting you afterwards. I was like, I can't believe it took this long to kind of have, because the first question was like, well, how did the hydration work out? And I was like, I can't believe that it took this long to kind of get it all dialed in.
But, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know, I guess.
Yeah.
So we can't blame too hard for that.
But I think we should mention, so we have a couple active discount codes that our friends and partners have sent over. So if you want 15% off anything from Precision Hydration, the code is LowTideBoys with a Z. But also the Blue 70 website, if you're looking for any gear, wetsuits, booties, goggles,
swim shorts, they got it all.
They got it all. If you use the code SWIMRUN, you get 20% off. So that code is still active. So, you know, use it. Make
use
us look
away.
Good.
We don't make any money off you using that code, but I guess it does showcase our reach, if you wanted to put it that way.
Yeah, and I mean, and you can see it on our website. It's like, we would love the show to be sponsored, because that'll give us more freedom to produce better content,
do more races.
Yeah, so we are trying to get sponsors. So this is a way of helping us kind of show that we have an audience behind us, even though the show's super young. So we're not rushing that, but, you know, it's on our website. You can read our sponsor terms if you're interested in sponsoring the show.
So on to this week's shout-outs. We actually, again, have two. One is a athletic feat of accomplishment.
Yeah, so we really wanted to shout out Amber from Team Better Tether Together, episode 12, our most popular episode,
yes,
according to our
download numbers.
Download numbers, yep. She, in the last couple of weeks, she did an Everesting attempt in New Hampshire and crushed it. It was her second attempt. The first one didn't go as planned, but I mean, I tried to do an Everesting attempt 5 years ago, not to be taken lightly. I think I ended up bailing, throwing in the towel with like 6,000 feet left to go or something like that. But yeah, it's a super tough feat, and kudos, tip of the hat to Amber. You're awesome, and what a great way to prep for the World Championship than doing a Everesting bike adventure.
Yeah, totally. And if you didn't see that, be sure to join our Low Tide Boys Strava group, or club, I guess, is technically called. Just search Low Tide Boys, and the kudos shall rain down upon you. Now, the second shout-out is for a longtime fan and listener and supporter of the Low Tide Boys, Rob Sainsbury from Canada, I believe, Vancouver. He recently published a little blog post on the VJ Shoe USA, which is very timely, ties right into our Shoedown, that's what it was, that we posted with the Swim Run Labs folks. So check that out if you're looking on what you should consider for a pair of swim run shoes. He posted a little blog post all about swim run on the VJ Shoe site, and he gave us a nice little shout out on there. And so that kind of thank you, Rob. He's so underscore arrow, super very triathlon Instagram handle. But we wanted to just point it out and say thanks for spreading the good word about the podcast. You know, if you are really enjoying the show, mentioning it on wherever you congregate, online or in person, if you're at an event and people have lots of questions and you are tired explaining to them how to find a partner or about certain gear, say, hey, check out the Low Tide Boys on, you know, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts.
I mean, I pretty much do that now. Like, if someone's like, oh, tell me more about Swim Run, I was like, I have a whole catalog of things for you to listen to.
I got you. So, and you know, that just helps us kind of get that word of mouth out. So instead of just Chris and I trying to be everywhere at once on all the different Facebook groups and doing all sorts of that stuff, if the listeners can help with that and spread the good word, we are much appreciated by that. So congrats on that great article, Rob, and thanks for the support.
Yeah, and I think with that, we should just get right into the show. It was really interesting. Thor is a really cool guy, and I think if you're not sort of inspired both from the challenge of Rockman or from just like the sheer ridiculousness of it,
yeah,
I don't think you have a pulse. This course looks awesome, and it was great to chat with him about it.
So enjoy the show with Thor Hesselberg,
God of Thunder,
race director of Rockman.
Not Chris Helmsworth.
No.
No. With us today, we have Thor Hesselberg. He's the race director of Rockman Swim Run, which was the first swim run event held outside of Sweden by about two hours before Attila Engeden. Welcome to the show, Thor.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
So are we. I mean, we've been chatting back and forth on Facebook for a couple months now. So I'm glad that we were finally able to get you on the show.
Long time coming.
Yeah, and you know, the first question we ask everyone is, how'd you find out about Swim Run? How'd you get involved in the sport? I think for you as a race director, that question is probably multifactorial. But yeah, why don't you tell us your sort of origin story in the sport?
Well, I'm the typical midlife crisis guy that realized around 40 that I'm too fat, getting too ugly, and I only have a few years left before I'm too old to wander about. So I kind of started my endurance sport. What is it now? Seven, eight years ago. I couldn't swim, I couldn't bike, and I couldn't run, basically. So I signed up for some epic events, and mostly done extreme triathlons before going into swim run. Mostly there because nobody expects you to run the marathon, because it's virtually impossible to run up, you know, rocky trails and so forth. So I kind of kept on doing that for a few years. at the same time, you know, realized about this great sport in Sweden called the swim run. A few teammates of mine in the same tri club were starting Rockman back in 2014. So I was supposed to do that the first race, but I got an injury a few weeks earlier, so I couldn't run. So I'd rather join them by hosting like a barbecue for meet and greet for people the Thursday before the race. They were quite busy, occupied with preparing for this adventure. So and then I helped out being on the course, assisting on the fjord crossing, sitting in a kayak. And I think it was 14 teams or so that came for the first edition. And then just fell in love with the concept.
Nice. So before you actually were going to race, or before you even race directing, you sort of helped out on a volunteer basis there, running the kayaks and hosting the pre-race barbecue, if you will. Was there a particular epic part of Rockman that really caught you, or you were mostly going to do it to kind of support your friends? Or it sounds like you sort of have this palette for rather epic endurance events.
Yes, I mean, it was it's my hometown, and it's a small community, and everybody needs to help out. And obviously, I was a little bit amazed how they were planning on making us run and swim throughout this great fjord. It seemed impossible, to be honest. So I was like, all right, we got to see how this goes. But the more one learned, and after that first year, they did a few changes to the course to make it even, you know, safer, I would say, because the plateau of this fjord is at 1,000 meters above sea level. And the Lysefjord is like a V-shaped fjord. So it's kind of more or less vertical drops from the fjord side to the plateau. So they changed the course slightly, added a little bit new segment in the beginning, and changed it after the Fleur de Lys stairs. So they come down to roughly a marathon or so of distance, 42K, including the run and the swim segments. Funny enough, I think the average finishing time here is equal to the one at the World Championship, which is wow, quite longer, but much flatter.
Wow, that's that's pretty interesting comparison.
I mean, I'm sold. I want to go do it.
I mean, if you haven't checked out the Rockman, I guess we'll call them hype videos or kind of race videos, we'll link those in the show notes on the website. But I mean, just truly epic views. And I think you even mentioned that one of the Mission Impossibles, there was a scene that was done at that giant rock that Tom Cruise was on.
Yeah, he was, I think in the trailer of in Mission Impossible, the rock is hanging on outside the cliff, is the pulpit rock. So you actually race out there, turn, and then go back.
Wow.
And then go further in the fjord before you swim. You have a long swim against the tide or the current normally, and then you have the fjord crossing, which is the longest one, which is 1,700 meters, close to a half an Ironman swim distance.
This is a little bit of a tangent, but one thing I love about Swim Run is really the hype videos. I'm just going to come right out and say it. Like,
they lend themselves very well to...
like, Attila does a great job. You do a great job. I mean, what is it about the hype videos? Like, I love them, but obviously you guys are spending resources and time to make these videos. They never not look epic, but... What's sort of the rationale behind those? Because, I mean, I love them, and obviously it's a marketing thing, so I get it on a basic level, but it seems like, Thor, you spend a lot of time making sure these things are really epic. Is this just so you want to share the majesty of it, or you just want to get people all super stoked?
Main reason is actually we want to let people know what the course is all about. And it's frankly more for the people that raced that year, so they can actually bring the memory with them rather than actually promoting the event as such, in my opinion. It's about your...
I like that.
If you finish this race and you go back home 20 years from now and you go back onto YouTube, if it's still called YouTube at that time, and you can show your grandkids that this is what I did when I was, at what type of age or whenever, you know, I did this 20 years back.
Yeah, it's like, hey, kids, I was going through a midlife crisis, so I took my buddy to Norway.
it's more to keep the memory alive. However, what I always tell my athletes at any race I direct is that make sure you, at times that you stop, turn around for 10 seconds, take a mental photo, because that mental photo will be with you forever. Make sure you kind of snap out of that race bubble to absorb what you actually have. And that's what I do when I do when I race myself, because I'm still active racing, doing different races. And actually to bring that with you when you're middle of, let's say, a lock in Scotland doing a race, and actually see you being there around 200 other people heading towards a swim exit or something, bring that with you. It's good scars on your soul for the rest of your life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you were kind of, it sounds like, helping some friends there with producing the race or volunteering or whatever. So how did that shift go? And tell us about when it clicked for you that I need to be the race director of Rockman. How did that come about?
It came about in fall of 2016. I had just started another race, which is called Thor X3, which is actually, I named it after myself because somebody had picked up the other good name, like Norseman.
For example.
So obviously I needed to, Thor is also a Nordic god. So I had hosted an event there in 2016, which is also in the same fjord. And when these friends of mine were getting to the age where they were, getting married, kids, wanted to pursue different things in life, they asked if I wanted to take over, because they wanted somebody that can bring the vision of the race forward in the same fashion they had had. So we kind of had the same type of values and mentality in how events should be. So when they asked me if I would step up and take responsibility for Rockman, I said, all right, I'll do it on one condition, that I co-host in 2017 and race at the same time, realizing as soon as you take over as a race director, you're not, you can't race your own race,
right?
Because it's virtually impossible. So part of the agreement was to me, and they said, yeah, but you have to finish it. I said, all right, if I don't finish, I don't pick up the race. So I took over when I crossed the finish line with my buddy.
I
love it.
What a great story.
I love it.
That's awesome.
How has the race, in your view, since when you took it over, evolved to where it is now? There's some pretty iconic events happening in Norway. Obviously, Norseman probably being the most well-known of these sort of extreme races. But Rockman is right up there. What do you think that you did, besides just sort of sharing the mystique of it, to help that race get the, how do you say, prestige, notoriety, infamy that it has today?
I haven't done that much, to be honest. And I could have done a lot more. But I think what we're doing now by reintroducing the Dragon's Neck every year, we took that out because it's only been on actually 1 year. But the last 2 years, it's been so great weather that we easily could have run Dragon's Neck. We're bringing that segment back. And now we are changing the race course in up to the pulpit. And I think the aim we have is to ensure that Rockman is the go-to for the ones that want to have a really experienced type of swim run, more than a race as such. Because with all the steps and all the altitude, it's you can't really race it. It's as much as a journey throughout the day to finish, as it is a race as such, because it's not flat, it's rocky, so, and it's nothing like anyone would expect to be honest.
So it sounds almost like it is very pays good tribute to the original story of Rockman. Like it's almost kind of like a battle from start to finish.
Yeah, or like a quest.
Sort of quest or journey. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you jump off the ferry and you swim into the villain's cave, which is also called Jellyfish Heaven for some reason.
some random reason, just, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's easy. You can simply use them as paddles, you know?
Yeah, works. Just grab them. Yeah.
Yeah, just grab them. No, they're not the ones that stink, to be honest. So it's quite okay. And then you kind of you get out of the water. We know for a lot of Americans, actually swimming in the fjord is quite magical by itself, because we have the mix of fjord and lake. And then you know you swim at the seabed in the fjord, and later in the day you swim at 1,000 meters above sea level. So it's really a course that gives you a lot of challenges and a lot of good opportunities to experience different conditions.
What's the average finishing time for that race?
I would say the fastest one is around 7 hours and 15 minutes, but that was not including the Dragon Neck. So I would say finishing winter time going forward would probably be around 8 hours, give and take. So the average finishing time, if you make the cutoff for the Dragon's Neck, would be between 10 and 11 hours.
It's a long day.
10 wow. hours.
Full day. It's like an Iron Man.
Yeah, it's an Iron Man level effort, I would say, on the old endurance scale.
To be honest, I've actually raced Iron Man races, and this is actually a little bit more tricky than that.
We just meant in terms of time. Length of activity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't trying to compare an Ironman to.
Oh yeah, Rockman. No, I don't think there's any comparison.
Fool's errand.
But that said, if you don't make it back to the finish line in time, you have to stay in Fleury for the next day because the ferry leaves at 8 o'clock.
Wait, hold on. Okay. So if you miss the cutoff, then you're stuck in this town because the ferry actually can't take you back to the start.
Well, I mean, the ferry leaves 8:15, but at the race brief, you tell everybody it leaves at 8, so they need to hustle.
That's pretty funny. How many teams usually are doing Rockman? Is this kind of, there's only a select hardened few that try it out, or do you get a fair amount of people who are looking for the next big challenge of their endurance?
Around 70 teams normally show up race day. But we can accommodate up to 100, 110 on the course.
Has that number been going up every year, the number of people that race?
It's quite stable because I think if you look at the overall swimrun movement as such, it's actually growing with so many events and so many epic places out there that you can go and travel to. What we saw originally was obviously a lot of Swedes coming. That has somewhat dropped in numbers as other races have developed, but we are seeing a more international crowd. So last year we had 26 different nationalities.
Wow.
So it's quite an international group. We see a lot of Americans coming. We see teams from New Zealand. We see places, you know, from all over the world coming. A lot of French teams, UK obviously, and the only less than 20% is Norwegian.
Oh, interesting. Let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you just alluded to it, sort of the international swim run movement. Kind of what's your take on that? Are you happy the way that the sport's growing? Do you like how international it's become and all these events popping up? Or how do you see that in terms of the future and health of the sport?
You know, It's still so early days of this sport, and I'm really happy with a lot of the movement going along. What I don't really prefer is when you get to that age group kind of discussion. A few years back, people were introducing solo segments, and that kind of is obviously something that, from a race director and from a financial perspective, is helpful. But from the experience-wise, I think it goes a little bit away from the the intention.
It detracts from it, yeah.
But on the other hand, it brings it also more accessibility for people. So I think if you can find a good way to keep those solo events going hand in hand with the, you know, the original team concept, I think will be healthy for the sport, because it, in order to have so many events around the world, it also needs to be sustainable, because people put a lot of effort into producing these events. And frankly, if you were in it for the money, you would probably host 5K events in only major cities around the world with 2,000 athletes running events. So we do this for the joy of actually giving the people the possibility to experience something unique. So I think growth of swimmer movement, yeah, I mean, let's make this bigger than triathlon. So you don't need to bring your bike around.
It's one of the things we really like about it.
Awesome. I'm curious a little bit about Thor, the athlete, the endurance athlete. You mentioned your midlife crisis, and it I'm taking a little bit that you kind of started in triathlon there. What sort of activities are you doing now? Like, do you say that when people ask you, "Oh, what do? You say, "Oh, I'm a swim runner," or how do you identify yourself as an endurance athlete? And what sort of events are you taking on?
I'm still somewhat on the triathlon bug. I told myself that I'm going to do 10 extreme triathlons before I kind of put the bike back on the wall. But I'm tendency to go more into being a, you know, only a swim runner. I'm more an experienced, adventurous type of person. I like to experience epic places and so forth. So it's more, I like a good challenge. I love it when people say, "This is something you won't be able to do." Then I turn around and say, "Look, hey, I just did it." You know, so it's more about finding that new challenge and just get it done with.
So you don't really care what the sport is or what it's called, if it's called a triathlon, epic swim run. If it's a cool adventure, it sounds like you're game for that.
Yeah, you can say that. But the thing is, I'm going more and more into the fact that my kids are getting older. I love doing sports with them. So, and my wife is also, I'm turning her into a swim runner. So we have our eyes on Engadine later this summer, we hope. And other than that, we intend to race more swim runs than triathlons. Yes.
And you guys would race as a team together, you and your wife?
That's the plan. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But she, yeah.
I could never convince my wife to do that.
I'm working on it. On a shorter experience or a sprint race one, that would be totally for fun. I think.
But the key for me is that I have this mantra of being best among the weakest on the finish, you know, on the race list. So if out of 100 teams, if I become 51, I win the second bracket of the race as such. So that's my goal, to be in the middle of the pack, winning that competition.
That's actually not too far from, we always try to finish in 63rd place. So we think that's just a good, healthy number, you know.
Unless there's only 60 teams, then there's a problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get that. I get that point. Yeah, no. So it's more about finishing. I'm part of a small group of athletes that is called Finishing is the Only Option. We kind of met back in 2013 when we all did a race in Scotland called Keltman. Mm-hmm. And we kind of formed this international bond. A guy living in UK, one in Scotland, one in Boston, and me in Norway. And we have only one rule, and that is whatever we start, we need to finish.
You guys are like the endurance Avengers or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and obviously you're Thor.
Yeah.
And not played by some Australian.
Yeah.
You know. That's really interesting. So about these extreme triathlons, so there's one in Alaska, there's Keltman, there's Swissman, Norseman, yours, right? The Thor Tri. which the video on that one is pretty insane. Just even the bike course after the swim, it's something else. But out of those types of races, which one do you like the most? And you can't say Thor race. Man. Yeah,
I would say go and look up Keltman, the one in Scotland, mm-hmm. because there you have swim is cold, bike is Scottish tarmac, cheap. So you have to paddle even downhill. And then you have the most epic run on the planet. It's almost as good as Rockman,
okay.
in my opinion. That is, it has everything, because in a small village, and I've done that race 6 times. I was scheduled yesterday to have my 7th finished on that race. And I said to the race organizers that I'll do 10. Then then I'm done. And these are the same guys that actually hosted the first Scottish swimmer called at Loch Ness. Mm-hmm. Which I think Andy Hewitt was, when he was on the show, he mentioned that the dog in, dog out type of story in Scotland. And this is the event they hosted.
Man, you're even tying it back into past episodes. Love it. A true fan of the show, Thor.
Yeah, well, actually, I've been following you guys for months, actually. So it's really fun to listen to all the different episodes. I also liked very much the one with Lars, how he developed the events. So I kind of like those episodes where you bring in pioneers of the sport. Those I love the most, actually. A little bit more than some of the other ones, but they're all great.
Yeah, they're all great. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. We'll just make sure we put that in. They're all great. Yeah, yeah. No, I honestly, I agree with you. I really enjoy the episodes where it's kind of like a history of the sport. I love the episode with Erica, with Mats, with Lars, where you're really seeing, I mean, I think Chipper and I, if I can speak for Chipper, we really feel like, you know, the history of swim run is being written right now. Yes. And I think from our perspective, we see ourselves as like a footnote in that history, but also see ourselves as like, well, people should know about these events. People should know about these people that are in this very niche, small sport, are really influential. And, you know, when we focus on things like Rockman and events sort of outside of sort of the Atala or the U.S. kind of
umbrella,
for us, that's just expanding people's horizons into what's possible. And I think, you know, having you be so personable, and, you know, we've been going back and forth on Facebook for a long time trying to make this happen, I think it's... it just speaks to sort of everybody is trying to do their part, and that this umbrella or this tent that we're all in is big enough for everyone. And I'm wondering, what are your plans for, are you planning on expanding Rockman, maybe doing more swim runs in Norway, or what does the future hold for your brand?
Well, we have hosted events outside the world. We have been in Spain, in the Pyrenees, to which we have a great location. Only unfortunate, I don't speak Spanish. So we have done that. I've been to the States a few times. I looked up were quite close to doing a race in Lake Placid area. Mm-hmm. But it was supposed to follow the railway track. But I realized that if we put on a race there, we would need not an aid station at every mile or so. We needed a shrink station, because people would go loony running on the railway track, because it's only so, you know, you just keep on going.
It's like the lap lane, lap pool, sort of. The black line just keeps staring at you.
Exactly. And I've also been up in Lake Tahoe to have a view. So who knows? We might put on a Rockman in North America soon.
I was
curious about if you have done any races in the States and kind of maybe a triathlon, or if you have done a swim run, kind of what your take is on how the sport is launching in the United States.
I have not done any swim runs in North America yet, but I've done the duathlon in San Francisco, the Escape from Alcatraz. The 1 year they canceled the swim. I was sitting on the boat ready to jump, and then we had to do a duathlon instead. That's in your hometown.
Yeah, that was a tough year. Yeah, I've raced Escape from Alcatraz a bunch of times, and I consider that course sort of my home course. And yeah, that was a real bummer that year because there really isn't anything quite like, that, you know, 2,000 athletes on a boat.
On a giant ferry.
Giant ferry
off.
Boat. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting race. And it was a real bummer that they brought everyone back and you basically ran to the bike transition and started your race then.
I think swimrun has great potential in all over the world. And I mean, we see great movements in New Zealand where they're doing excelling well. And you see good events in Australia. You see a lot of stuff happening in France, Spain, all over the world, basically. I think this sport will stay with us for a long time. And that's great as long as we try to keep it honest to the intentions of the sport. You know, where you kind of have the footprint is less than before you arrived going through the course. Definitely, it's exciting times, and we do want to go abroad again. We do. So we have some plans, but we haven't launched any yet. We wanted this year to be focused more about being home, developing the sport here. We have a local small event called Kvitsøy Swimrun, which is more like a sprint distance. Mm-hmm. And we have some ideas of developing the sport in our local community. I live virtually less than 2 minutes away from an awesome lake, which has a lot of trails and paths around it. So we're looking at maybe launching a summer series where we basically start the race in my backyard. Also in my garden, and then we race a loop, which is like 5-6K a few times, and end up with a barbecue.
Well, that sounds a lot like
the Hellas
swim run. Yeah, just kind of like a easy, low barrier to entry, experience the sport, fall in love with it,
community building
thing. Yeah, and instead of pastries at the end, you'll have a barbecue. I love it.
Yeah, and this is the place on Thursdays before the Rockman event. We have this social swim, and that's the same course we intend to use.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
So when you guys come next year, we then have wine and strawberries in my garden after doing that race.
Notice that Chipper and I didn't immediately say no.
We have a garden going here, but we have some deer eating my strawberries and my pepper plants for my hot sauce. So I need to figure out how to keep the deer off of my strawberries. So if you have any tips,
it's called a fence, dude.
We'll correspond later.
we have the same problem. It's a lot of deer in our area as well.
Nice. Any you had like Catalina had the myth of the buffalo.
Bison
being on course. Is there any mythical creatures on the Rockman swim run course
besides dragon neck?
Rockman himself, he normally pops up during the course.
But he doesn't have his big rock anymore because he threw that.
He already placed it.
He's there to greet the athletes at a few spots.
And by greet, you mean that when athletes are hallucinating from going up 4,000 steps, they're like, oh, hey, Rockman, what's going on, dude? Nice to see you.
Yeah, no, I mean, the plan is normally we try to have him on the pulpit rock. Mm-hmm. So you can actually get a photo with him, the fjord in the background. So we are planning to put in a 2-minute mandatory break at the plateau there. So we make sure people can absorb it and just don't run fast. So as long as you do that for everyone, it's okay, in my opinion.
I love that. And there's a race called the Dirty Kanza 200, which is a 200-mile gravel bike race in Kansas. And there is a couch that's just in the middle of this gravel road that has become, I don't know if it started as an official thing, but people just stop, sit on the couch, and get their picture taken on this couch in the middle of this 200-mile gravel bike race. It has a very similar sounding feel to that, and that is really awesome. I kind of like the mandatory break, how you mentioned, you know, kind of break out of your racing mentality to absorb like the beauty that you're in and the nature that you're in.
Yeah. No, that I think is important because those memories will be with you constantly. especially if you have a strong partner pushing you a little bit too hard. At least then, you know, the one at the end of the tether will probably need that break to actually be able to absorb all the greatness around you. So I think that's a good idea. Should be in every race, to my opinion, even shorter ones.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, I had a similar experience the first time I did Escape from Alcatraz, where you jump in that water, you jump off the boat and swim the shore, where about halfway through, just swimming along, and you just kind of take a breath and you peek the Golden Gate Bridge from sea level in the middle, in between Alcatraz and the shore. And that, I'll never forget that. It's like, oh, that's the best view of the bridge I've ever seen, in the water, just bobbing up and down with 3-foot white cap swells coming at me. But yeah, I think that's a point well taken. And I think we would definitely encourage people to take a breath, take it all in. If it costs you 10 seconds as a race, I mean, for us, 10 seconds. I mean, Chipper's blowing, you know,
10 minutes,
300, yeah, 300 seconds at the aid station. So,
yeah, I mean, we have on our course, I think only one time we had a sprint for at the end, where two teams were fighting. And that was actually Marcus, who has been on the been on the show before. They had to sprint to be on the podium.
Wow.
And, wow.
That was down to 5 seconds or so.
That's unbelievable. After like 8-10 hours of racing, and then it comes down to 5 seconds. Amazing.
Yeah. But other than that, those 10 seconds, you can easily make up anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah. Just maybe try to take those steps two at a time and pay for it later on the downhills.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
How long? I have one question before we let you go, Thor. We really appreciate your time here. I'm curious that the 4,444 steps, how long does that, what's the like PR? What's the course record time on that? And then what's the kind of the average layperson's time up that?
Okay, if you're a mountain goat, you can easily run up there in, I think, the segment leader or the king of mountain or whatever you call it is 24 minutes. The average is 60 minutes for our athletes.
Hour. Okay, yeah. An hour.
Yeah, that makes sense.
An hour, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, Thor, where can people find out about Rockman and any of the other races? And if they want to learn more about Thor, where would they go?
I would say hook us up on Facebook and Instagram on the Rockman Swimrun, or go to our webpage, rockmanswimrun.com.
Great, and we'll be sure to link all those in the show notes, and you can check that out from on the lowtideboys.com, and we'll link to all that and the whole entire story of Rockman. They have on the website with a series of videos that kind of gives a little bit of the legend of Rockman. So those are pretty cool. I would definitely recommend checking those out. Well, again, Thor, thank you for your time and telling us about your journey through your endurance background and taking over a Rockman race. And there is potential that maybe at some point we will see you out there.
Yes, maybe next.
Well, if I don't see you guys here, I'll probably see you guys hopefully in Catalina, because yeah. I have a daughter who is hopefully going to California as an exchange student this fall, if the COVID-19 situation allows it. Mm-hmm. So I hope to place her in LA. I was there myself 30 years back. So being able to go back and then head out to Catalina would be awesome.
That would be...
Seems like a great excuse to do that race.
Yeah, and if not, I'll... And by the way, bisons, I went to Custer State Park last fall, and I was actually less than 3 yards away from the greatest bison you have ever seen.
Wow.
So I would recommend heading up there if you want to see them, and not Catalina, to be honest.
Well, yeah. You know, we're actually in San Francisco in Golden Gate Park. There's a bison paddock, so we can technically go see bison.
Probably not in their natural element, though.
Yeah.
And not like the Mono Island is natural.
And not in a wetsuit and stuff. But Thor, yes, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. And we'll see you out there, hopefully sooner rather than later.
All right. Thank you. Take care. And I love what you guys are doing for the sport. Keep bringing more at it, because we need to get the news out there for everyone. And all the listeners as well, you're all welcome to come to Rockman and hook us up and we will sort you out.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line. And just keep going until you're done.
Yes.
Or until you cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.
Or run to your car.
Somewhere. Just keep running. Peace.